Good morning and welcome to this Monday version of Jump in Tucson. It's a Wildcat Wonder Day where we talk about the good things on Mondays going on at the University of Arizona in research and in student outcomes and great things that affect our community. With me in studio is Lydia Aranda. Good morning, Lydia.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Bear down.
Yeah, thank you for being here and being part of our Jump In team. We really appreciate you. And, you know, Jump In Tucson is a unique format where we look at different issues throughout the week with different hosts. On Monday, we do this University of Arizona Wonder Show, Wildcat Wonder. On Tuesday, General Ted Maxwell will host Engagement. On Wednesday, Grant Kruger hosts Food for Thought. On Thursday, Tom Moulton hosts Southern Arizona Attraction, sponsored by Visit Tucson. And all of this is about to discuss the great things going on in the city of Tucson and in our Southern Arizona region. So we do have a pretty vibrant community, don't we, Lydia?
We sure do. Lots going on in industry, community, wellness, small biz, big biz, general good stuff. And it's 2025, I think the 250th anniversary of Tucson, is
yeah,
it not?
It is. It is. We're getting there, yeah. Well, with us on this segment is Michael Blue. Michael is the restaurant manager and in charge of Arizona Sands Club. So good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Dr. Ackerley. Thank you for having me on.
So Lydia and I are very good friends of yours because we spend an exorbitant amount of time in the Arizona Sands Club, and we see you frequently. What a beautiful facility you have, and what a great venue that is for Southern Arizona.
Yes, absolutely. I believe we are the best unknown secret in Tucson, you know.
Yeah, it's great. You know, when the restaurant and facility was built and so forth with the extension of the North End Zone there in Arizona Stadium, mm-hmm. It's on the fifth floor, and you can turn one way and see the beautiful Arizona Stadium and the beautiful game time atmosphere, and that even when there's nobody playing down there, just the awe of seeing the stadium, and then turning around the other way and looking out the beautiful windows to the Catalina Mountains and the campus of the University of Arizona. There really is no other venue like it in Tucson that has that. It's amazing what the view is and what the atmosphere is. You've done a nice job of capturing that.
Well, we appreciate that, and, you know, I've been here for about 2.5 years, going on my third year, and I just get to walk up to this view every day, and it still baffles me that I'm allowed to work in the spot, and I get paid to do so.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about, you know, your chef that is there now is wonderful, and he has just done some great things. There's a brand new menu that's out for 2025. Tell us a little bit about some fun things going on at the Arizona Sands Club in 2025 as we break into the new semester for the University of Arizona into the new year. What's happening at the Arizona Sands Club?
Well, lots, actually. We have an amazing chef that was brought on about 2 years ago, maybe just about that, and it's Executive Chef Danny Perez. He's worked at several of the higher-profile resorts in Tucson, and he brings a real southwestern culinary background to the Sand Club and allows us to really capture, you know, the community with some great bites. Our menus, our attitude, our service is ever-changing. We're going into our fifth year. It's going to be our fifth-year anniversary, and we are, you know, listening to our members even more than before. And, you know, we're ever-changing the menus or, you know, the networking abilities or the other clubs within a club that this Arizona Sands Club really gives to our members and our community. Currently, Danny has arranged our menu to be more inclusive of those dining that maybe might be price conscious, where, you know, not everybody's going to want the $65 three-course meal. He's really driving the prices down. So, you know, just somebody coming in for a light bite, even a three-course dinner, maybe you add wine to it, but he's really listening to the members and what they'd like to see on the menu right now. And usually we change the menu every quarter, but we really listen every day to our members. If something's not working or it needs to be adjusted, he's really on top of that.
You know, I have to say that that's been my experience observing all those different changes. And you guys do a fabulous job of exactly that. You being out and about in talking with patrons as they're there, but I love the reaction whenever I'm there or when I've been there and I'm talking to other folks who say, well, I didn't realize that I could go there and have a lunch meeting, or I didn't realize that they just have a concept, I think, preconceived notion of what a club like that would be, and instead discover that it's so much more and really is being community conscious. So I just love that about the Sands Club.
Yes, I agree. And it's one of the things that really drew me here is, yes, I've never worked for any kind of private club. And, you know, in Tucson, we don't really have many of those that aren't golf related.
Right.
And when I first came up here, obviously the views stole my heart, being from Tucson, born and bred. But then when you start meeting members and, you know, people in the community that are members and what they're looking to gain from having a membership here, it's not just dining. We do several different clubs within a club to try to get more of the community engaged in things that are happening in the community, but not only those things, but just having a lot of networking events where you can come and you can have your meetings here, but you can also be part of a bigger networking events. They're usually on Wednesdays. We do them twice a month, and you know, it's really engaging for you to come out, talk to others that are, you know, just looking to get their businesses out there, similar to the Sands Club. You know, we're still trying to make sure everybody knows about us, and we really strive to make sure everybody's included. No ideas or bad ideas for us. We just take everything we can and try to make adjustments so that everybody can come to the club, but not just for dining, but for communication, to network, and, you know, just do other things and be engaged with others in the community.
That's great. I know even in the sort of in-between holidays, you know, some of those times I was there for an early dinner meeting. And as I was coming out, I was running into all kind of folks down in the lobby that were coming in to go not just to the restaurant, but to a different part of the club because they were having a birthday party or an anniversary party or something else that was going on. So it was just really fun to see those different folks coming in. Good for you.
Well, Michael.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Michael, we're going to take a break here, but when we come back, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the employment. You've got some University of Arizona students working for you, young people working for you. You've got a pretty robust group of people there. And of course, Rick Croner, your general manager, is doing a great job there. We'll talk a little bit about that and how you service the University of Arizona population as well as the community at large. And then, well, of course, what's really important, Stacy wouldn't let us get by without talking about how we can get somebody to become a member of the Arizona Sands Club. We're talking with Michael Blue of the Arizona Sands Club. Lydia Ronda is with me. We're listening to great things going on at the University of Arizona on Wildcat Wonder Monday. This is Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM The Voice. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to Monday Wonder, where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona with Lydia Ronda. Good morning again, Lydia.
Buenos dias.
We're talking with Michael Blue, who is the restaurant manager at Arizona Sands Club. He's in charge of the day-to-day operations of that wonderful facility. Great food, great views, great people. Michael, welcome back to Jump in Tucson.
Thank you for having me.
Can we talk a little bit about the employment? You know, there are a lot of wonderful young people that are working as servers and providers in the restaurant and in the club itself. And I'm just marvel at the amount of activity that happens in that facility on a regular basis. So, how many employees do you have, and what is the kind of the magnitude of what you're doing there on a daily, weekly, monthly basis?
That's a great question. We put our job postings out there, and we do get a lot of U of A students looking to stay close to the campus while, you know, they work, and then they can go to school right before or right after. We're really appreciative of all the applications we get. We also know that in our world that they probably move on every 4 years. And that's a good thing, is that we get to be alongside some of our youth as we mold them into the young adults they're becoming. And right now we have, because football season's over, we probably have about 30 staff. Most of them, yes, are students. I would say probably 25 to 27 of them are students. And it's a great mix of people. You know, they all have different backgrounds. They all have different goals in life, and it's really teaching them, you know, other things about responsibility and time management, but also growing their skills as, you know, being servers and other things in our community after they you know, leave the University of Arizona. During football season, we hire probably another 50 people for football season because we are part of the U of A and making sure that the premium spaces, not only in the football stadium, but the McHale Center, are taken care of with food and beverage with the Arizona Sam's Club staff.
Such great experience for all of those folks. Just as you said, you know, young professionals in the making, and what a better place to do it than right here in Tucson, the city of gastronomy, the link to service, to, like you said, those transformative skills, you know, the time management, the being part of a team, knowing what your role is, understanding where you can ascend, but doing it in the industry of food and entertainment. Fantastic.
And Michael, you also have the Bear Down Kitchen, which also feeds the athletes. For most of the athletes at the University of Arizona get to go to the Bear Down Kitchen as part of their athletic enterprise while they're working on their sport. They need to eat, and one of the places you provide is the fourth floor, which is the Bear Down Kitchen. So that has proven to be a good enterprise as well.
Absolutely. The students and student athletes really love coming down there. Yes, we do service most of the students. We do a lot with basketball and football, especially down there. But just this morning I was down there, there was baseball, there was diving, there was swimming. So really seeing everybody come together down there, it's a really good thing. And, you know, we are open to the public down there too. So anybody and everybody can come down and have a nice buffet breakfast, omelets to order, even breakfast sandwiches to order. And it's not a bad price because, you know, we're very price competitive, especially in the central part of the university, and there's so much going on around us, yet you can come down and get a breakfast buffet for, you know, no more than $10-$12.
And, you know, that's a good point that you make, Michael. This is a good secret that we've had on campus, and we have to do a better job of promoting what the benefits are of being engaged with the Arizona Sands Club and the Bear Down Kitchen, but also to become a member. And how does one become a member, get in with Stacy's group and become engaged in a possible membership at the Arizona Sands Club? How do they go about doing that?
Well, there's multiple ways. We do have a website, Arizona Sands Club, and you can go there and look at, you know, requesting a quote for maybe private events, or if you're looking to become a member. With becoming a member, you would reach out to Stacy Pincus. She's our senior membership director. I can give phone numbers and emails, but she's been with us. I think she was employee number 2 hired.
Right.
So she's been here just under 5 years. A great asset to the Sands Club team. She's very gifted in understanding of what her role is and does a really good job with it. I believe bigger and better things are in her future, but she does a great job. Again, it's stacy.pincus at invitedclubs.com, and she does a great job. So you can request a tour, or you can just come to one of our open houses. We usually have them 1 to 2 times a month. I believe our next one is February 4th. So if you want to come out, reach out to Stacy Pincus, RSVP, and we'll make sure you have a great time while you're here. We usually give a little food, a little drink, and wine and dine you to see what the club is all about. But Stacy Pincus is our leading lady for memberships.
So if I were to come to a lunch this week and have something wonderful, what would you recommend, since you're there all the time? If Lydia and I were going to come and have lunch together or dinner there tonight, what would you recommend off of Chef Danny's of a menu to kind of entice us to come and be part of the Arizona Sands experience?
Well, I can definitely tell you that our culinary team is very gifted and they do a great job. I will say that, you know, whether it's lunch or dinner, we give different options of dining. And what I mean by that is, you know, some people are looking to grab and go. It might be faculty and staff from the U of A looking to get back to their jobs. Mm-hmm. So maybe they only have half an hour, 45 minutes. We have a great salad bar that we do. I think it's $12. And then if you want to add the hot station to it, I believe, you know, we do stuff like build your own sandwich. We do slider days. We do all kinds of things during lunch, and it's only an additional $5. So you're paying $17 for all you can eat, and it could be all you can eat sandwiches and salad bar, and then you get to dine and go when you're ready. If you're looking for anything sit down where you're entertaining or you're just having a casual lunch or dinner, Danny does a great job every week of creating specials each day. And if I was somebody coming into the club tonight, we are actually doing something called date night. So you come, bring your significant other out. You have a great night while we check on the kiddos, and we'll have them in a different room doing activities for the kids. So the parents get to kind of just relax and have a nice evening kind of alone. Wow. But that's just tonight. But again, Danny does a great job rotating our specials day to day.
And see, that's so great, because it's date night that can be for the couple coming, but they don't feel that they have to make arrangements. They can bring their kids. So that's nuanced and special. And I was just kind of going through some of your different membership rates online. And I love that there are approaches and packages, especially for those within the 50-mile radius, but also those who maybe are outside the 50-mile. You know, it seems like you've done all kinds of great, paid great attention to the variety of folks who might want to be a member and are catering to them. And that Bear Down Kitchen opportunity for folks to come and take advantage of, I think that's a great way to become less of a best-kept secret and more of a better-known gem.
Yeah, if they can get into the Bear Down Kitchen and then eventually take a tour of the Arizona Sands Club, mm-hmm. they'll be hooked, as I was. You know, I was fortunate to be one of the original members of the Sands Club, and faculty at the University of Arizona were clamoring for a place where they could go and have faculty events and so forth. So I was part of that experience, and I do have to say that Larry and all the people at your bar that are part of that really do cater to special events and so forth. So if you want to do a happy hour with your team or get a bunch of people together from a department or something, there's no better place on campus than the Arizona Sands Club to do that. So, Michael, again, if they want to find your website, it's, did you say Arizona Sands, invitedclubs.com is what you said?
Well, we're actually owned by Oak View Group now. So if you just type in Arizona Sands Club, in your Google search, it'll come up, and you just click the page, and you get to see all about our multiple areas, private events, dining options, as well as hours of operation.
Well, Michael, we want to thank you and Rick Croner and Stacy and all the group that manages the students and the other workers that are there. What a great experience. I am a regular at the Arizona Sands Club. I'm also trying to work with Stacy to be an ambassador to try and tell people the good things that are going on at the U of A. And one place where I want to contribute is to try and get the message out to more and more of the faculty and the administration type people at the University of Arizona. They know about it, but sometimes it slips their mind. And when they're thinking about a place to go, they forget about the Arizona Sands Club. And so with you and your team, we're going to try and make a better effort to get them to think about coming to the Arizona Sands Club. It's beautiful. So thank you for being with us today, Michael Blue, the restaurant manager of the Arizona Sands Club, the beautiful facility on the fifth floor of Arizona Stadium with beautiful views of the Catalina Mountains and of the actual football field, which is just an incredible view. If you, it's always, it's Michael, someone's always leaning up against the window, taking a picture of themselves in front of the stadium, aren't they?
Absolutely. I get more calls than anything to open the door so people can go out on that deck just to get a closer view of the stadium.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It sure is.
Thank you so much.
Are we lucky?
Yeah, we are lucky. We're lucky we have the facility. The food is delicious. The ambiance is great. But the people that work at the Arizona Sands Club are the gem that makes going there so wonderful. We just really appreciate all you do for Jump in Tucson, for Ackerley Advertising, for me personally. So thank you, Michael. It's great to talk with you this morning.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Great. So if you're not doing anything, you should go to the Arizona Sands Club or start maybe with that breakfast buffet down in the Bear Down Kitchen, which will get you right near and show you the type of food that Chef Danny is providing. It's wonderful. So Arizona Sands Club, one of the bright spots on the U of A campus, and Rick Croner and Michael Blue and company are doing a great job of providing of great food and great ambiance and great locations for events and parties and events. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM The Voice. When we come back, we'll have a discussion about black holes and how researchers at the University of Arizona have done some great photography of capturing some images of what happens when matter and stars stuff goes into black holes. It's a fascinating discussion. You're listening to Jump In Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM The Voice. This is the Wildcat Wonder Series, where we talk about the good things at the University of Arizona. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to Jump In Tucson on this Monday morning. This is where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. With me in studio is my co-host today, Lydia Ronda. Good morning.
Good morning.
Fascinating discussion about a lot of different things on our Wildcat Mondays. We talk about really unique things going on at the university.
Absolutely. And there are so many. We would just never even really scratch the surface. That's what I love about it.
Right. You know, I often talk about how we hear about some of the stuff at the U of A, and sometimes that's a little negative sometimes from time to time, and it's questionable and so forth. But the purpose of this show is to talk about the really cool things, good things going on at the University of Arizona, and Wildcat Monday, where we talk about wonder, where we talk about good things going on, is really, I think, is important for the community.
Well, and I think it's great. Wonder Monday following Fun Sunday. Sunday Fun Day.
Sunday Fun Day, yeah. I love it. With us for this segment is Dr. Jake Isbell. He's with the University of Arizona Stewart Observatory. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So your head is in the stars, as they say, right?
Exactly.
You're always thinking about the universe and the stars and so forth. You know, I'm an amateur astronomer in the sense that I took classes 40 years ago at the University of Arizona in astronomy. I'm fascinated by the distances and the things that are out there that we can't really see from our vantage point here in southern Arizona. But a lot of discoveries have been made over the last couple hundred years that just are fascinating to me. I'm a junkie for how the universe works and those kind of documentaries and so forth to learn about the different things going on. So the very first question I'm going to ask you after we get back, after we talk about you, is what is a black hole? But let's get started first with you telling us a little bit about your educational history, how you became a doctor and how you became an astronomer and how you are at the University of Arizona at the Stewart Observatory.
Right, yeah. So I guess it kind of started when I was a kid. I was always looking up at the moon. I was fascinated. I wanted to be an astronaut for the longest time, so my head was always kind of in the stars.
Right.
I kind of turned that into going to the University of Iowa, where I studied both physics and astronomy for my bachelor's. And I started doing research there, you know, kind of got my feet wet. And then I was able to do my PhD studies in Germany at the University of Heidelberg and the Max Planck Institute for Astronomy. So that was a big jump culturally and, I mean, obviously with the language, but it was a really great opportunity to get to start looking at these surroundings of black holes, which I'm continuing to do now. And so I finished my PhD studies in 2022 and came here to the University of Arizona at the beginning of last year.
Great.
To start.
Well, welcome to Tucson and welcome to the University of Arizona. We don't want you to go anywhere, so we want you to continue your studies here at the University of Arizona. So the basic question is, you know, trying to get someone to understand this is always, to me, just fascinating. What is a black hole?
It's a great question. So a black hole is basically anything that's so massive that not even light can escape its gravitational pull. So we think about the planets orbiting the sun, they're kind of caught in the gravitational well of the sun. If you take this to a much, you know, larger extreme, you'd have light going around the sun or then a black hole and eventually get so massive that light can't even kind of escape falling back in.
So everything that goes in doesn't come out. And
exactly.
So
it, yep.
It's based on gravity. You know, and Stephen Hawking and other, you know, kind of out front, a theorist kind of thought about what a black hole would be and what they would look like if we could see one. And obviously, you can't go into one because you can't come out. So the University of Arizona has been on the forefront of research of black holes. Of course, one of the first photographs of a black hole was taken right at the University of Arizona with the instruments that we have here. And the U of A has been obviously involved in every NASA program since its inception and continues to lead missions and so forth. Most notably, maybe the OSIRIS-REx mission and the Mars missions, which are recent missions to kind of describe what's going on. But what I think is fascinating about black holes is that over the years, astronomers have begun to say that at the center of most galaxies, there typically is a black hole, correct?
Exactly. We think at the center of every galaxy, there's one of these supermassive black holes. It's a million times or more as heavy as the sun.
And why is that? Why is that happening? Why? I mean, obviously they haven't 100% figured out why. But what is the general thinking of why there are black holes in the middle of these big giant galaxies?
So, it's The prevailing theory is that as material in the cosmic web, so we think of things spread throughout the universe, it kind of reaches these intersection points where you just happen to have a lot more mass. And basically that point is where the supermassive black hole forms, and then all of the stars and gas kind of form around that.
Mm-hmm.
So the black hole kind of, we think, causes the galaxy itself to form.
Amazing. And so there's a lot of energy that's involved in obviously, if the black hole is swallowing stars and star stuff and things in the universe, as that stuff hits the horizon and gets started into the black hole, in some cases, a lot of energy is emitted when that happens, right? It's kind of like the collision of two atoms. When that happens, some energy takes place and mm-hmm. the energy is released on that micro scale. But on the macro scale of black holes and universes, when something hits that horizon, then there is a reaction, an energy reaction, a release of energy, correct?
So both as it reaches the event horizon, yes, but as it approaches too, it kind of whirlpools in and the material heats up and glows very brightly even before it interacts with the black hole itself.
So when it's spinning around the orbit of the black hole before it's going into the black hole, it's because it's so close to that energy source in and of itself, and the rapid rotation of it around increases the energy of whatever is going to be swallowed up here momentarily, right?
Yes, and you also have the outer layers kind of rubbing against the inner layers, which causes frictional heating.
And we talk about momentarily, we're talking about cosmic scale.
Yes, yeah, these are millions of years.
This can be millions of years or hundreds of thousands of years just in human time. How do you wrap your head around the distances and the time? You know, Einstein called it space-time continuum. How do you wrap your head as a young kid when you were looking at the moon, or as a getting your doctorate and so forth, and now as an astronomer? How do you justify these huge, 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 huge infinite distances and this time that just is so difficult in human terms to even think about?
Most of the time I kind of neglect it. It's just a number. And then when you put it into context with talking to people in general, then it's like, oh yeah, actually that is crazy far away. And I kind of re-go through that realization.
It's pretty funny, Lydia, when you look up at the stars and late at night and you see a little pinpoint of light up there. You could be looking at another galaxy which has 100 million stars in it, but it looks like a pinpoint of light. It's fascinating to me.
It really is. And when you stop and think about it, like you both are just describing, the fact that we can see it at all,
right,
is impressive is not even the word. It really makes you scratch your head at the wonder of the power, you know, of light over distance and all of these things that those little concepts start to, you know, rummage around in my mind when I really start to hear the kind of statistics of distance and time and a cosmic moment, if you will. What was kind of going through my head, I'm wondering, Doctor, what, I guess, how do you see this concept, the topic, all these things, how do you interact with other students, like maybe really young students, to maybe start getting them interested in pursuing a pathway similar to yours, and whether it's you or your colleagues or your department? Are there activities or special tours for young kids to, or presentations, so that they kind of maybe get into astrology? I mean, I know there are.
Astronomy. I'm a Capricorn. I know what astrology is. So.
That was the Libra in me saying something about balance. But I'm just wondering what fun activities might be going on within your world to attract those younger minds.
That's a great question. And I actually had the fantastic opportunity a few years ago to help work on what we call the Gravity Sandbox. This was an interactive tool where basically students could move sand around, and we had a scanner above it keeping track of the height of the sand, and it made this into a gravitational field that the students could then kind of move particles through and have them orbit to simulate what was going on in the universe. And we, you know, kind of rolled this out to schools in Iowa City, and they had a fantastic time with it. So, I mean,
that sounds great because it's tactical, and at the same time people can see it, and it's a similar experience.
And we have the Mount Lemmon Sky School here at the U of A, which is also a great way for a camp to get kids invited to learn more about astronomy. We're talking with Dr. Jacob Isbell at the University of Arizona Stewart Observatory. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk some more about black holes and about the research that he and his colleagues have just done to capture some photos of black holes and the energy that's released. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI, and we'll be back after the break with more Wildcat Monday Wonder. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is the Monday Wonder edition, where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. We're listening to Coldplay and A Sky Full of Stars. Thank you, Matt Neely. That's pretty awesome. With me in studio is Lydia Ronda. You're a star in your own right, Lydia. So welcome to Jump in Tucson. We appreciate you. Yeah. With us is Dr. Jacob Isbell at the University of Arizona Stewart Observatory, who he and his colleagues have done some research on black holes. And we've been talking about black holes, what they are, that there's one in maybe every, there is one in every in every galaxy in the universe, and that there are these huge places where stuff goes in, but they check in, but they don't check out. So so we're talking about the energy that's released when something is swept up over time into one of these black holes. So what your research did, what your group did, is you used the Large Binocular Telescope. Tell us what a binocular telescope is on the top of Mount Graham in southern Arizona. What you did there that's unique and got you to see something that humankind hasn't seen before.
So the Large Binocular Telescope is unique in that it has two 8.4 meter, so, you know, many feet, I can't do the conversion right now, telescopes mounted, and they always point at the same thing. So very often they're used kind of independently, using, you know, one camera on one side, one camera on the other. But what we did was we used an instrument that combined the light from these two telescopes to make it act as, instead of two separate telescopes, as one much larger one with higher resolution, because the resolution of a telescope or a camera in general increases with the size of that.
And that ability to use the binocular format of these things got you to look at the galactic nuclei, right? And you were able to see some energy emitting from some black holes. Can you tell us a little bit about what you saw and what you captured?
Mm-hmm. So we looked at the brightest and one of the nearest active galactic nuclei. So in that case, it means that around the supermassive black hole, there's a lot of material. And it's glowing more brightly than, for example, our Milky Way. That makes it active. Our Milky Way is inactive. And what we saw is this material surrounding the black hole being heated both by that black hole and by interactions with the radio jet that is emitted from that region as well. So we got to see both of these phenomena.
So are you talking about this information that you're receiving, this light and so forth, is twofold? One is, as you talked about, it's the material that's spinning around the outside of the black hole before it's captured, and then once it goes into the black hole, there could be some release of some energy that is seen from afar, but then after that, it's all over and you don't see anything, right?
Well, we're also seeing things that are actually much farther out. So that material that heats up as it spins around the black hole heats these huge clouds of dust that surround it. These are on the scales of, you know, a few light years.
Right.
And that is mostly what we were directly seeing with this, but that gives us evidence of, you know, these smaller scale features that you're talking about.
Right. And so these black holes are an amazing building block to the universe. And what seemed theoretical maybe is short ago as maybe 100 years or 75 years, now they're a reality. And we've seen them. You've been able to photograph with these telescopes, the Magellan Telescope in Chile and so forth, and some of the telescopes that are out in space looking up, not through our atmosphere, but out there in the clearness of space, been able to capture what's happening around a black hole, even though the black hole itself is, by definition, not visible, right?
Exactly, yes. At the University of Arizona, for example, the Event Horizon Telescope was able to capture these very first images of the shadow of a black hole itself. And then what we're doing is slightly larger scale, but we still see the direct effects of this black
hole.
That,
wow. And that first photograph of the shadow of the black hole was the first of its kind in human existence, actually. It's the first time a telescope was able to capture the existence of a black hole and basically prove the theory, although it was proved other ways, but it was this visual evidence that that these black holes do exist. So that was a pretty amazing a step forward for humankind to kind of see these black holes. What is the future of your research? What does it look like? What are you planning on doing to build on this research? And, you know, you've got another 40, 50, 60 years here at the University of Arizona working on solving the issues of why we're here and what is star stuff and why are we made of it and who's around and all that, and what's the meaning of life. What's the future of your research going to focus on in the coming years?
So yeah, it's hard to think about 40 years in the future, but at least short term. A fantastic result from this research actually was using these telescopes in this way is still relatively new. So we were able to prove, you know, better and show various ways in which it can be done. So what we're going to do next is look at various other types of astronomical objects. So we've got evolved stars that are, they have huge dust clouds around them. They're kind of enriching the universe around them. We also have other active galactic nuclei we can look at as kind of a comparison sample for, you know, we have different types of AGN, so we want to compare to what we're seeing in this particular one and build up a better picture of, in general, what's happening
and
in galaxies.
And there's more involved than just pointing a telescope at a black hole.
Certainly.
You've got to get telescope time. You've got to get funding from the national endowments and from France and other places to help you with funding of these things. These things are, you know, they need grants and they need a support from governments and pseudo-government activities and philanthropists and so forth. Mm-hmm. And getting the telescope time is in and of itself standing in line because other people want to look at other things.
Yep.
And so that's always an issue too. There's not enough telescopes with the amount of research that needs to be done or wants to be done. And so this is always an issue. The fact that you got the monocular telescopes and were able to use them in this study is pretty cool as well.
It's a great opportunity at the University of Arizona also to work with the team who runs this instrument directly that helped us, you know, be able to even attempt these experimental type of observations.
Right. You were talking, Lydia, about how do we get young people excited. Do you do you teach students as part of your assignment at the Stewart Observatory? Dr. Isbell, are you teaching students as well in basic astronomy classes and so forth?
So I'm involved with a postdoc teaching fellowship right now. I will be helping design a new kind of experimental curriculum. I'm starting that this semester. I'm also working with an undergraduate student to get him started with this research early on. So while I'm not lecturing, I am getting involved as much as I can.
Yeah. That's great.
I have to tell you, in my own personal experience in the late 70s, having Dr. George Coyne, who was he was actually Father George Coyne. He was a Jesuit priest, but he was in charge of the Vatican Observatory, and he was here at the University of Arizona during my time. And I got the great pleasure of going over to the to Castel Gandolfo, which is where the Vatican Observatory is, and being part of that experience. And I just, I'm a kind of a space junkie. I kind of love astronomy. It's just mind-boggling to me. Well, we appreciate what you do, Dr. Jacob Isbell at the University of Arizona Stewart Observatory. Pretty interesting stuff, right, Lydia?
I think so. Just absolutely. And I love your story of your studies here in the U.S., but also over in Germany, and then bringing them here to the Southwest in Arizona. And I just love that global connection, just as you just talked about, Dr. Ackerley, of being over at the Vatican Observatory as well. So it connects in many ways. Your description about a web helps people understand, certainly me. I'm kind of a visual person, so when we're talking about things that aren't so easy to see, like black holes, it can kind of put it into perspective. So thanks for all you're doing. And people in our audience can't see you, but I do. You're quite young with all this experience. And and so, yes, easily 40 more years. I look forward to it.
Well, thank you, Dr. Jacob Isbell from the University of Arizona Stewart Observatory. Thank you, Lydia Ronda, for being
pleasure.
With us. Thank you, Bill Ackerley. Thank you, Matt Neely. Thank you, Morgan Murphy and Hunter Ackerley, for setting this up with us and doing the background work for Jump in Tucson. Jump in Tucson is produced by Ackerley Advertising. It comes to you from the studios of KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. And we come back on Tuesday with General Ted Maxwell, Wednesday with Grant Kruger, Thursday with Tom Moulton. I'll be back on Friday with business and organization success stories. Thank you for listening. We appreciate all you do, Dr. Isbell. Thank you, Lydia.
Happy to be here.
And thank you for listening. We appreciate that you want to jump in Tucson.
You've been listening to Jump in Tucson, produced by Ackerley Advertising, serving Tucson businesses since 1968. If you have comments or would like to talk with Ackerley Advertising, call 520-850-7058 or visit jumpintucson.com. Tucson has great success stories, and you can hear them on Jump in Tucson.